March 1st, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in our beloved Banting Park home. And it is my honor to have on the show a very old and dear friend and fellow community organizer, Troy Thiel, all the way from Madison, Wisconsin. Now, Troy is a Madison realtor, but he also serves the Milwaukee residential and commercial markets, and is also an expert in housing, especially this affordable housing crisis that we've been facing these last few years. And Troy is here to talk about that. Troy, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's kind of spring-like. It's a little colder than it was all week. Thank you for calling me a very old friend.
Hey, that's two of us. I'm young at heart, though.
But I'm still immature.
That's it.
And when you work with residential clients, you know, this is the busy season. And so, for example, today I've got two listing agreements I just got out, two buyer's agency agreements out. I'm going to be showing three different parties about 15 properties for the next 6 hours after we're done here. So I can sleep when I'm dead, as the old saying goes.
Sounds great.
One of the things you said about one of the words you used in our conversation for today is affordable. Mm-hmm. And I like to use the word appropriate instead of affordable.
You know, I'm glad you say that, because in a lot of my writing, clients get really nervous because they think I'm speaking to lower income people. And it's not just lower income families. It's first responders, teachers, people with good jobs, people that should be able to afford a home, dual incomes. So you're right. It's, you know, for a while we were using affordable workforce housing crisis, but again, that was still kind of poo-pooed as speaking maybe to working lower classes. But it's really everybody in past years.
Let me give you a data point, about that. On October 1st, 2023, national interest rates were 30-year fixed was 8%. At that minute, 85% of households in America could not afford the median house price, putting 20% down based upon their income. 85%. I would suggest 80-85% of the people today living in homes that they've lived in for 5 or more years, or maybe 10 or more years, in this ridiculous buildup of expense, could not buy their home today. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that 80% of households in America have children or grandchildren or loved ones who can't afford to live in the same community as they are or anywhere near them. So this is not a red problem. It's not a blue problem. It's not an urban problem. It's not a suburban problem. It's an everywhere and just about everyone problem. Appropriate housing and what we need to do about it and what's sort of caused it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So, you know, in the case in Waukesha, there's been a lot of housing development going back to my days on the city council, which was from 2019 to 2022. And critics of the city's, housing policies or developments, if you will, say that there's too many multi-unit residential, not enough single-unit housing. There's some people are opposed to a lot of the multi-unit housing that's going on in downtown because they don't believe that it's going to have a long-lasting residential base, that you'll have a lot of transient people coming in and out. But, you know, even in those multi-unit dwellings, some are not really that affordable. And so what I like the question you sent me, how would you evaluate a city's current efforts to increase the amount of appropriately priced housing?
Well, kind of to respond to that, back to, you know, only 15% of households in America could afford to buy a place on October 1st of a year and a half ago, almost. In 2024, the lowest percentage ever in the history of the it being tracked, first-time buyers were only 24% of home purchasers in 2024. In a year that we sold less than 4 million homes, that was 45% fewer than the record amount of homes sold in America 20 years before, almost a full generation before. And in that time, America has grown 75 million people, and investors are purchasing single-family homes at a rate 2,000% higher than they did in 2006. So the wheels are off the bus on affordability, appropriability. And what happens is that traps renters. People that would love to own a home have very few options. So they have to stay renters, which means they don't build equity. They don't build connection to community. They don't build control of their own space. And housing prices just keep getting further and further away. I mean, we saw appreciation at 7, 8, 9, 10%. The screen behind me, Dan, I almost use that same screensaver that you have. The screen behind me is downtown Bellevue, Washington, where the average home is $1.7 million there. $1.7 million. So what's going on is all of those apartments are the only type of housing supply, quite for the most part, coming on in the multifamily space. And it's the only option that renters making lots of money have. At the same time, John or Jane Doe, who's sitting in a home in Waukesha or Tosa or Madison or Bellevue, who are in their 60s or 70s, they're in a situation where they're ready to buy down and open up their inventory to the rest of the market. And they're not going to, because they're not going to sell a house that's appreciating 3, 4, 5%. 5% of it at $1.7 million is $85,000 to $100,000 a year. Those homes are appreciating. And the numbers differ depending on the market, obviously. To go into a rental space where they get no equity, they have no control, their space is smaller, and it's not as nice as their house. They're going to stay in their homes, and I'll give you another stat on what that looks like, because there's one word that's creating all this problem, and it's inventory, available inventory of choices for consumers. The churn, if you will, of how long people are staying in homes is estimated to be 16% by the NAR. 16 years.
Wow.
Back in 2006, sellers were moving homes every 6.5 years. That's a 250% increase in the time frame that people stay in their homes, which in Wisconsin in 2024 led to 20% of the inventory that we had in 2016. We only had 20% of the amount of available listings to purchase that Wisconsin had in 2016. And so all of this has led to this really imbalanced housing demand and housing supply for purchase. And so it forces people into renting, or it forces people into spending more and more and driving up housing prices. And that hurts the American household, that hurts the local economies, that hurts Wisconsin's economies, that hurts the nation's economy.
So I guess in response is, and maybe you've answered this already, you've really given us a lot of great, rich content here at Data, and thank you. What are steps that a city should take to address this issue? I mean, obviously it's a bigger national issue, but what can we do at the local level to try to minimize, or at least try to start reversing?
Well, I your state representative is on the housing committee. He's a dapper dresser, Don Waukesha.
Adam Nail. Oh, Scott Allen. Yeah.
Yeah, Scott.
My representative actually is. I don't even remember his name. No, Adam Nealon from Pewaukee. Okay. Our little sliver Waukesha got tucked into.
That's right. He got moved.
Yeah. So, but Scott Allen represents most of Waukesha.
Yeah. He's so,
a friend of mine and my wife.
Representative Allen and Representative Haywood, who I actually had a meeting with after that committee, the housing committee, we met Thursday. And friends of mine who are planners and economic development consultants or staff for City of West Allis were there too. And there are like 15 state legislators and people from different industries. They met about comprehensive planning, right? Plan. While some plan, others do, right? I mean, we know what to do in America. We don't really need to dive into the plans as much as they get into, because there's this illusion that if you create the plan, you've succeeded. You've created the roadmap. And that's a that's a vision statement. That's not a reality statement. And actually, there were two home builders, the two largest builders in Wisconsin testified the builders brought them in. And one is from the Pewaukee market, and one is from the representative from Viridian here in the Madison market. And they've tried to work as well, down the 94 corridor, because it's such a boom town. Plans don't make difference when the reality on the ground is completely different. So here's what we need to do. We need to learn from how we used to do it. There's an old, you know, everything old is new again. Mm-hmm. In 2006 in America and in Wisconsin and in Illinois, where you and I hung out in Evanston back in the day, 54% of the multifamily units built in housing were condominiums, were home ownership opportunities. Only 46% were rentals. In 2024, fast forward not even 20 years, of the 600,000 units, which is a record number of multifamily units built in America, 98.3% of them were apartments. 44%, 98.3%. And if you look at the graph, and I think I sent it to you, if we're going to do some post-production, we need to share this document. It shows that drastic shift that began in the mid-2000s that created the only options being built were for rent. And that's what's keeping those 200, that's what's keeping those people in their homes. Because they're not going, have you ever heard the phrase rent down?
No.
You always hear the phrase buy down. And us old people, you and I, Don, you know, we're older Xers, but the baby boomers.
We're older kids.
We stopped building in most of America for them. We didn't stop in Florida. Look at the boom states. We didn't stop in Texas building for them. There's townhomes and condos. And we didn't stop in California. We didn't stop in New Mexico. We didn't stop in Nevada. Right. We didn't stop in Arizona. We stopped just about everywhere else building for those people. And now those are the boom areas. Now we're seeing the damage. And the damage is to the American household alone is the value or the expense of home ownership or rental in 2006. That's a very important year to use.
Right.
It was 14% of America's take-home household pay went to housing cost. This year, it's estimated to be 34%. The way to look at that is show me the money. $6.5 trillion more paid for housing and not available for savings, buying new furniture, kids' daycare, paying for healthcare costs, saving money for college funds, or saving money to buy a home and get the American dream that's real of equity.
And this is a great time for me to interject our Evanston connection. You know, Troy and I first met in Evanston, Illinois, USA, back in the mid to late 90s. Troy was a very established realtor there as well. And I was running what was arguably the probably most successful restaurant group in downtown Evanston. And we were both very invested in that city. And we co-founded the Evanston Small Business Association, or ESBA, in 98 to combat very inappropriate development in downtown Evanston. They wanted to put a mall in a very historic city. And while we lost the battle, we certainly made a mark in terms of when Troy took over the presidency for me during his tenure, Northwestern University had tripled its spend with local downtown businesses from $9 million to $27 million in 1 year. And that's something we're very proud of. And because of that, Troy still gets called on to consult for small businesses. And as you know, I continue to be an advocate. The one thing Troy and I both love about downtown Waukesha is that there's really only one recognized chain. They're all independent, entrepreneurial concepts. And that's the Main Street Troy and I love. That's the America we love. And, you know, with people we're trying to embrace and trying to support, these are people we want to live in Waukesha homes in our cases, or in Madison area homes in Troy's case, or in our beloved old, hometown Evanston and Evanston homes. And it's the same crisis everywhere. What can we do, especially now in this new regime where government's being completely reorganized or restructured, or however you want to describe that. what can we do to make America greater than it ever was?
Well, the American dream is the answer for a lot of people, right? When American household retires, over 60% of their equity or their personal, the household wealth, isn't their Krugerrands, it isn't their baseball card collection in Wisconsin, it isn't their beer can collection. Right. Darn it. Yeah. I still have mine. Just kidding. It isn't their Bitcoin. It isn't their 401k. It isn't their stock funds. It is the amount of wealth they have generated from the equity of their home, of their home ownership. That's almost two thirds of housing wealth. And what we really, really have to do is to recognize that we are locking out future generations, existing current generations, out of having appropriate options to have access to that. And why is it important? when a corporate firm is looking at Milwaukee or Waukesha or the or somewhere in Milwaukee County or Ozaukee County or in Madison, and they've got to recruit talent to come there. The talent that is making good money wants to own where they live because they understand that economic argument that owning where you live is not only about having wealth and having equity, it's about having control of your own space. It's about owning your piece of the ground and the piece of your community. Renters are oftentimes great community citizens, but I tell you what, I've seen hundreds of people that I've helped buy their first home and it changes their lives. They get connected to their careers more, their relationships, their dreams, and then their community, and they support it. Every home sale transaction in America at today's prices puts $200,000 of that transaction into the economy. That's realtors' commissions, lenders' fees, that's transfer taxes that cities really would prefer to have. That's increased tax and sales receipts, that's contractors, painting, that's movers, and more, title companies. I'm missing some. And this is why it's housing is considered one of the drivers of our economy, and it's always watched. And it's, you know, clearly one of the most reported things.
It's what kept us going during COVID.
And COVID changed things. COVID sort of COVID delayed this crisis significantly. And people had to upsize their homes because they were either homeschooling or kids moving back or other other people moving in with them. So this is a major issue. And the reality is that people get distracted from what caused the problem, and they create solutions. Like, I like accessory dwellings. They're cute. And I like the thought of a community land trust. They're really cute. But less than 11,000 people in America live in a community land trust. Mm. How is that the solution when there's 330+ million people? Less than 40,000 people in America live in accessory dwelling units. How is that the solution to the other problem? And we cannot build our way out of it. I'd like to use the example of drill, baby, drill. What is the message behind drill, baby, drill? It isn't just about having the quality of new production of petrol or the what goes into petrol oil. It's about using it more efficiently the way you have it. And so in any given year, new construction in America is less than 1% of housing sales or available housing units, the new ones that are being built coming to the market. It's 99% existing. So we have 30 million plus. I helped the Redfin do the research about 3 years ago. We have 30 million plus single family homes or in America that are less than half occupied. If it's got three bedrooms, there's only one bedroom. It's a widow or a widower or a couple or a single person. And they're staying in their homes because we've not built them what they want to buy down to. And so we used to do condo conversions of apartments. So we basically have our missing housing exists. It's just, we need to use it more efficiently. And that is done by getting people out of homes they no longer need and into homes that fit their appropriate lifestyle. An older couple, they can put cash in the bank, they can lock the door and go see the kids or go to Florida or Bimini or Bali or whatever beach they want. I'm a mountain guy. And we've got to get that balance of what we're producing back. I call it hashtag fix the mix. I call it hashtag level the playing field, because the only reason apartments are being built as at 98.3% is they're getting all the tax breaks, they're getting all the WEDA loans, they're getting all the low assessed values.
These are the developers, right?
Yeah, they get the 1031s. None of that happens on the build to equity side. None of it.
So and that's going to be a separate show in the future. We're going to throw out developers. Yeah, I know we've got a lot to share on that.
Yep, exactly.
The big ripoff. So
the reason I say 2006. So 2006 is the beginning of the end, right? Where there was the crash, but it was also the Big Short, and the Big Short was about loans. And what the Big Short investors realized is, let's cut out the middleman. Let's cut out the homeowner. Let's go after state law and financial laws so we own everything and they pay our bills. They pay our mortgage. The top 10 apartment development groups or ownership groups in America saw their profits rise the year after COVID hit 57% in 1 year.
Wow, that's something. Troy Thiel, real estate expert, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We have to continue this conversation. We'll look for some pre-recorded opportunities because I know this is your busy day, Saturday. So really grateful for your gift of time and expertise. And let's do this again real soon on This Week in Waukesha. March 1st, 2025. And Troy, thanks again. Well, I look forward to seeing you at Friday Night Live, one of these.
It's a great event. So. Waukesha, you guys got to go on. Condo, townhomes and cottages. Let's build some cool cottage communities.
Love it. And some new urbanism. We got to talk about that.
New urbanism, baby.
Thanks so much, Troy Thiel, for joining us. And thank everyone for being a part of this. Stick around for podcast 2 with entrepreneur Selena Weitzel. See you, everybody.
All right.